Sox.
Go, go,
go, go.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago is proud of you.
This is White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
Extended post, White Sox Weekly, whatever you want to call it. Great to be with you this Sunday afternoon. Harry Tynowitz, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay, Carm, except I didn't plan on the Sox getting swept by the Motor City Kitties.
No one did, right? You're coming home, you're 3-2, you feel good. You're leading in the opener.
Leading by three in the opener.
Yes. Not Joaquin Soria's best day. Joaquin Soria gave up one home run all of last season with the Royals. And unfortunately gives one up on opening day. It was great being out here on opening day, even though it was snowing. It was just a cool atmosphere. I missed you, Harry, by the way.
Opening day is always fun. I love the bunting. I just love the bunting.
And the bunting's still out here right now as we're, you know, hanging out at Guaranteed Rate Field. Dave Zaslavsky, great job today. He's leaving the building. Our White Sox producer, I'll miss you. So, hey, we got a busy show here. Hector Santiago, I talked to him earlier today. He's done some great work on the field and off the field. Just a great guy to talk to. Kevin Powell's in the locker room right now, Harry. We've got some Tim Anderson coming in. So, you know, early season here. Nothing to panic about. But not the way you wanted it to go this weekend, for sure.
Well, especially after the way you started. And you started out like gangbusters. You were the last team in the American League to hit the loss column. Your bats were just, you know, on fire. And I know you were talking about it earlier. The White Sox came out like gangbusters offensively this season, and the first six games, it was just awesome. You know, they doubled up their slugging percentage from last year, more than twice the homers. They were just pounding the ball, and the last 2 days, just I'm glad the little kids are running around the infield now and touching home because not a lot of people in Sox hats were touching home this weekend.
No, only one the last 2 days, but and it's true. The White Sox were leading all of baseball in home runs earlier in the week, and I don't think that was expected to happen all season long, but unfortunately going cold the last couple of days, and just today's game, you know, you get a great pitching performance from Ronaldo Lopez, and you look at the positive there. Here's a guy 24 years old, and it's two good starts. His stuff is nasty. I mean everything I see from Ronaldo Lopez, I like it. So There's some good going on, but the bats just got to get going here, bottom line.
Right, and you could even argue, you know, I hate to make excuses, but, you know, Giolito's worst game ever yesterday, you could even argue it was because of the weather, but it was an un-Lito-like performance with the hits, the walks, and three-hit batsmen.
Right, and exactly right with the hit batsmen and just finding the strike zone in general. His ratio, strikes to balls, not what you want. The weather part, it's a little dicey, right? Because the Tigers are playing in the same weather. So you can't really put it on the weather because both teams got to go out there and play in these conditions. And baseball has made the decision to start the season even earlier, so there's more off days. Everybody, I think, would like the season to start later, but then there's that whole revenue thing. So I don't think the 162-game schedule is going anywhere.
No, there's 162, and nobody wants doubleheaders either. Which, you know, in my younger days, they called me Delta Dawn. In my younger days, there were doubleheaders all the time. You know, and if you have doubleheaders, you don't have to play as many games in the cold weather as you're doing now. But it's like you said, both teams have to face it. I know that they called Seattle, Minnesota today. Hey, look, chance to get fat off the Tampa Bay Rays the next 3 days. That's what you do. You know, you can cry or you can turn the page. So for the White Sox, they need to turn the page and go get them tomorrow.
The beauty of baseball, there's always another game tomorrow. Season just keeps rolling on and rolling on. And so you get the excitement at the start of the season, and now you got to settle into the grind and coming out, being professional, being on your game day in and day out. And that's part of the growth that a young team like the White Sox has to go through and will be going through all season long. Let's get you into news. When we come back, we'll hear from a bunch of the White Sox coming out of the locker room. Kevin Powell's down there sending in some sound back to the studio, so we'll get that turned around from you. I know we have some Tim Anderson sound for you.
at the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, White Sox Weekly, indeed, with you till 7 o'clock. Myself, Mark Carmen, and my man, Harry Tynowitz, HT. We got to get these bats going, and we got to hear from Tim Anderson in a minute here, okay?
Yeah, the White Sox, you know, came out clobbering. It was clobbering time for the White Sox the first six games. But yesterday and today, just non-existent offense. I don't know what they decided to do differently, but I wish they would go back to the way they were, you know, going the first six games.
If it was only that easy, right? Just go up there and press the hit the ball out of the ballpark button again. Can't you just do that?
Do that more often. That's cool. It's cool when you do that.
Yeah, let's go into the clubhouse here. Kevin Powell's talking to different White Sox ballplayers, including the White Sox shortstop, Tim Anderson. So here we go with Tim Anderson after the ballgame.
How tough was Flyers today? What was he doing to keep the guys out of
there? He made some pretty good pitches. Nothing stood out, but, you know, he placed the ball real well and, you know, was nipping the corners and, you know, kind of kept us off balance.
With the way the weather was today, did you feel like both sides are probably going to have limited opportunities to put up some runs?
Yeah, definitely. With the wind and no balls are flying out, so, definitely. So we just try to keep the ball out of air and try to go for the gaps, but, you know, the pitching was real well today.
How about the pitching that you guys got today,
too? It was good. It was good, yeah. Lopez threw a heck of a game and, you know, gave us a chance to get in the ball game and kept him in it.
That was stolen base. Going well.
We're still running, man. Yep.
How hard has it been this weekend just trying to scratch some runs across in this kind of situation?
You know, we've been putting together some good ABs. You know, we haven't been getting great results, but, you know, we definitely been scratching and putting a barrel on the ball.
Tim Anderson in the clubhouse after the game. Tim Anderson, Harry, he's 5-for-5 in stolen bases this season. He stole another one today, got himself in scoring position in the second inning. He is the first White Sox player with 5 stolen bases in the first 8 games of a season since. You want to gander a guess?
Well, the obvious guess would be to go like Tim Raines.
Let's go 2002. Kenny Lofton. How about that?
Oh, the Northwest Indiana product.
Yeah. And now he's 30-for-33 in his career. That is a very good ratio, ladies and gentlemen, right?
That's much better than my ratio.
What is your ratio, Harry?
My ratio was 1-for-11 when I was in Little League.
16-inch saw? Oh, in Little League, huh?
Little League, yes.
Where'd you play Little League?
Glencoe. We played South School, Glencoe. Very, very. I was so good in Little League, Carm. They instituted a rule just for me. Every kid had to play at least 2 innings.
Yeah.
Look out, right field. Here comes Harry.
There he goes.
You know, not only is Tim Anderson flying from first to second, but he made a spectacular pick today on a ball that was thrown into the dirt. And it's got to be one of the hardest plays for an infielder is you're bringing your glove up to get the, you know, the short hop throw. And then in the same motion, you're putting the glove right back down to tag the runner out. And I thought that the Tigers were going to challenge that. They didn't, but that was just a great play by a Timmy Anderson.
It was, and that is what I would call elite reflexes, elite athletic ability. And who knows what the future holds for Tim Anderson? I mean, the White Sox have him under contract through 2022. I want to say double check that, but I think they have that correct. And you know, he most likely will be the shortstop, but who knows where? I mean, somebody like that, he in theory could play all over the diamond if you know, depending on how everything turns out with the Sox. And I am right about that. He signed through 2020 to the first round pick, 17th overall, 24 years old. Tim Anderson. You know that he didn't play baseball until his high school year, until his junior year in high school. Harry,
it's pretty good.
That's a nice thing to pick up. I'm a junior. I'm going to start playing baseball. Then I'm going to end up at community college, and I'm going to hit nearly 500. And now I'm going to be a first-round pick. And then I'm going to sign a deal before I'm 24 years old that will keep me set for life. That's a life path that not a lot of us go on right there.
Well,
for you, Tim Anderson.
The other thing I like about Tim Anderson is he's not a guy that walked a whole lot last year. And he's already getting the bases on balls going this year, which is really going to help the club.
Yeah, him and Matt Davidson both walking a whole lot more early season than they did last year. And you got to like seeing that strike zone discipline, very important. Hey, before the game today, Harry, I'm in the clubhouse, right? And Yolmer Sanchez walks in, and he's carrying this enormous boombox. Do you have one of those at home, by the way? Do you have one?
Yeah, sure I do. Of course I do.
Yeah. So, you know, he's walking around the clubhouse, and he's got this boombox. It's basically the size of a city block, right? And so I felt like I had to go up to him and get some information on the boombox here, because you don't see that every day. Would you like to hear what Yolmer had to say about
that? I would like to know what music was all set, ready to go in the Yolmer Sanchez boombox.
It was a lot of Bruce Springsteen, Harry. He was thinking of you.
Yeah.
It was a ton of Bruce.
Yolmer Springsteen?
Yes, Yolmer Springsteen. So this was Yolmer before the game today. How long you have the boombox?
Like I say, that's not mine. That's Narby's, but I use it. I take it when he don't use it. I just try to put my music in. And dancing, singing, whatever. But I like to hear music.
Okay, so you didn't make a big financial investment in this thing. You're just borrowing.
Yeah. Thank you for Narby. He buy it, and thanks Narby. But I use it now.
The Vaseline. Can you tell me how that? Do you your whole body? Like how does that?
Yeah,
work?
My legs, my arm, my face. That help a lot. That help a lot, so you have to do something to keep your body warm and, you know, help a little bit. And, yeah, I started using, like, 2 years ago, and I still use it.
So you don't feel as cold, or what, you like it? I don't, how does it even work? Like, what does it feel like to you?
No, that helped me with the cold water. You feel a little warm, and you don't feel the cold water a lot like you used to, because it's really cold. Yesterday was unbelievable. But that helped me, especially in my face when the wind blow. Cold is, you feel more, so help.
Let's say you foul a fastball off and your hands are stinging in the cold. Are you not allowed to show that as a baseball player, like to the pitcher? Like you don't want him to let him know that it's bothering you?
No, everybody know when it's cold weather. Sometimes you hit the ball well and you feel your hand. So everybody knows that doesn't matter if you show or not. They know about it, and you have to. They're gonna throw what they're gonna throw. I don't think that if you get jammed, they're gonna throw fastball again because it's cold now.
Yeah.
I think you have to stick with your plan and swing the ball.
So early in the season here, I feel like you got to be pretty happy with how it's going for yourself here, no?
Yeah, I feel really happy because I've been working really hard, especially in this offseason. I work really, really hard, so I just try to maintain my routine and do my job.
The goggles, how long have you worn that?
I think I started using last year. Yeah, I don't feel comfortable, so I started using 2 years ago in the offseason every day, so I get used to it, and now I feel good, and that helped me. I think that helped me. I get better results, so.
Do you know they're there now, or is it just totally natural? Like, I'm just walking around. You don't even have to, like, feel like you're adjusting, like, I guess, like just like sunglasses.
No, just like sunglasses. I don't feel. At the beginning, yes, I feel weird, but now I get used to it.
People want to know what this team is capable of, Yolmer. What would you say?
We got a lot of talent here.
Okay.
We got a lot of talent here. We know that we can compete, and we're gonna, like you say, if we do the little thing and we play a good baseball, we're gonna be here for the regular season and more the postseason. So that's the main goal, and we know that we can get there.
25 years old, Yolmer Sanchez, Harry. So he rented the boombox from Omar Narvaez. It wasn't his own.
Well, it's good they can share,
right?
Yeah, I think everybody likes boomboxes, except like prima donna outfielders that go from the Sox to the Cubs. They can get angry and they can take a bat to a boombox now and then.
You had to bring up Sammy Sosa on White Sox Weekly, huh?
I'm just saying he lost it.
Yes, he did. Did you know that guys in the cold weather use Vaseline all over their bodies?
I heard about it. You know, I think that there was like a surprise, a shock. I would think that they've got to have tried all kinds of crazy things. You know, by the time that they get to the point where Vaseline is all over their body, and then putting it on your face makes sense to me because your face is exposed.
Right.
You know, I mean the arms, the legs. You know, theoretically you could just layer up. And, you know, like, I know that when you go to a, you know, like, if you go to a cold baseball game or a football game outdoors, you know, they always say, you know, just layer up. But, you know, the face is exposed, even if you've got one of those hoods on. So that makes sense to me to get the full Vaseline face going. You do a lot of that, Carm?
No, I don't. It doesn't make sense to me at all. I didn't know that you could just put, like, a lubricant on and all of a sudden you feel warmer.
Yeah, but, it's like a shield.
Yeah, okay. I mean, apparently he says it works, so I was trying to get full understanding here. Hey, by the way, if you want to jump in on White Sox Weekly here and thoughts on the early season, who is impressing you, what would you like to see more of, that type of stuff, 312-981-7200. Harry, I know that you have a game that we're going to play later in the show.
Yes,
here.
Yes. We will have Sox. We'll be giving away White Sox tickets every weekend on White Sox Weekly, normally heard on Saturdays. This weekend heard today on Sunday. But we'll be giving away White Sox tickets throughout the season. And today we'll be giving away through a very topical game.
Yes. Well, you don't want to say any more?
Oh, no. It's for Sox fans. It's for Sox fans, and you'll have fun playing it. And it will remind you of guys that, you know, some guys that are still playing on this team and other guys from, you know, days gone by.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll do that after 5 o'clock. Before we go any further here, let's talk about Joe McConnell, Harry.
Yeah.
79 years old. Called White Sox games from 1980 to 1984. Was on the radio, of course, for the 83 winning ugly White Sox. This past November, he was elected to the Indiana Broadcasters Pioneers Hall of Fame. He was named the AP UPI Play-by-Play Sportscaster of the Year 5 times, Indiana Sportscaster of the Year 2000. He was doing Purdue Boilermakers football from 1994 through 2009. I mean, this is just an incredible career. 23 seasons in the NFL. He was the voice of the Denver Broncos, the Minnesota Vikings, the Bears, which we'll get to in a second, 1977 to 1984, nearly saw a Super Bowl, the Indianapolis Colts, 92 to 94, the Tennessee Oilers, 97 and 98. He did play-by-play in the NBA for the Phoenix Suns, the Indiana Pacers. He was, and he was also in baseball, the voice of the Twins, 78 and 79. So
I think it'd be easier if you just said what he didn't do.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can play, I think, his most famous call.
Sweetness?
Yeah. Dan Long, I believe we have. This is the most famous call that Joe McConnell ever had. I would say everybody would agree with that, and it came in 1984.
Second play of the second half on the 21-yard line. Walter needs two to break the record. High formation. Wing to the right is McKinnon. Galt wide to the left. They send McKinnon in motion through to the left side. Quick pitch to Walter. Looking for the record. Cuts back. He's got it. He's out of it at 25 to the 26-yard line. Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown on his second carry here in the second half. And that's the equivalent to Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. And listen to the standing ovation.
October 7th, 1984, that was 1 year before WGN got the Bears and the Super Bowl in 1985, and Wayne Larrivee took over with Dick Butkus and Jim Hart. But that's some history right there, Harry.
It is history. You know, I remember him, you know, always saying, you know, Bears in the deuce backfield. And, you know, a lot of people grew up listening to him. He was a very iconic announcer, very iconic broadcaster, and his loss is felt, you know, a lot of different places.
Yeah, 1983, he was with Harry Carey, Jimmy Pearsall, and Rich King.
You think that was a fun group?
That is unbelievable. I mean, I was a little too young to completely appreciate that. I don't know how much you remember it. Do you?
Well, you know, we're about the same age, Carm.
Okay, I didn't mean to age you. I know that.
Yeah, you can't help yourself. Yeah,
right. My bad.
It's okay.
But maybe your memory's better. Do you have a better memory of your early years than me? How about that? Let's put it that way.
I remember the early years. There's a brief period that I'm a little foggy on, like between 1980 and 2010. But other than that, I'm solid. I do remember sports stuff. I remember a lot of sports stuff and. You know, I mean, he was, he called Drew Brees his whole career down right there at Purdue.
Yep. He did, he also did Northwestern football a little bit as well. I mean, there's a lot, as you said, there's a lot of places that he touched. Maybe it's easier just to name what he did not touch. But Joe McConnell, just wanted to give him a fair tribute here. 79 years old, the voice of the White Sox from 1980 to 1984. Harry, are you coming out early tomorrow? Want to make sure we're on top of that.
Yeah, I want to go see what what's on the the boombox.
Right. 1:10, the White Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow afternoon. It was a 7 o'clock game, but moved up because we are expecting some snow. We are expecting brutal weather. We are expecting not a great day as. Chicago not cooperating with the baseball in April so far. So hopefully they'll be able to get the game in tomorrow. Miguel Gonzalez starting for the White Sox and Chris Archer for the Tampa Bay Rays. 1:10, your first pitch. 312-981-7200. Harry, are you a guy that holds on to things when things don't go well?
Oh, yeah. You know I do. You know I do. There's always positives. There's always, something you can hang on. As long as you got, look. Hey, as long as you got this young team, and you got a ball game tomorrow, there's no reason to get down.
Right? That's kind of like a lot of people. You ride the roller coaster early in the season.
This was Lopez pitched great today. Two hits. You're not supposed to lose a game when you go seven innings and only give up two hits. It's kind of unfair. It's kind of screwy. It's like somewhere down the line he's supposed to, win a game when he only goes five innings and gives up 10 hits.
And neither of those hits were, it's not like he was giving up rockets to the wall. One's a bloop to left field, so both Leonis Martin with both hits. So it's just sometimes it's a game of baseball, as they say, Harry. 312-981-7200. Let's get Adam on 720 WGN. Anything you want to talk about on White Sox Weekly, feel free. Adam, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? That game was cold is my first impression of the game. I was out there. We got about 10 minutes of sun. It was great.
How long did you guys stay? Did you stay for the whole game?
Dude, I was there 45 minutes early, and I was there until last pitch. So
you're awesome.
I drove from Champaign, and it was a great time. It was a great first game. So really was it was nice to see a good Lopez start. He's kind of struggled with command early last year when he came up, and then he's looked great in both starts. So that's encouraging. I like to see that. If he's sitting at like a 3 or 4 for us in a year or two, it's going to be fantastic. If he's throwing these seven inning two hits, that would be fantastic if he can do that pretty consistently. Yeah, I mean, it's just rough. Those games, I felt like it was just a total crapshoot, with the weather. So, five hits, it could have gone either way, and we just kind of at the end with Abreu grounding that double play at the end there. That was, he had a great at bat, and you just got to throw it up to the weather, maybe and a little bit early. So, I feel great about the team right now. It's
I was going to say, Adam, hang on one second. I was going to say, Adam, you sound like a guy who was all in on the rebuild and you love what's going on. Is that about accurate?
Oh, I do. Yeah, that's exactly, man. There was a lot of people like thinking we were going to be the Twins this year. And, maybe we can be. I it's still early. I was at Sox Fest earlier. And, I was at Sox Fest the year before. And the excitement's there. People are, And I think we just got to get used to the fact that, like, maybe this year might not be as exciting as we were hoping. But, got a lot of cool players. Tim Anderson's breakout, He's still on pace for, what, 80 stolen bases? That would be awesome.
Yeah. I think we can count on that. You know, I mean, you say this year is not going to be that exciting. I don't know if the win-loss record is going to be that exciting, but, you know, remember the excitement? Maybe the best game last year to be out there for was the Moncada game when he first came up, and that's gonna happen a bunch of times this year because Rick Hahn is going to be bringing guys out. You know, you never know when you're going to have these guys stepping up for their MLB debut. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement in the air this year.
Yeah. Right now, you know, I mean, Rondon, you know, came up. He pitched, a 1 1/3. Looked
four
great.
Four batters, four strikeouts.
To be honest.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe he wasn't up. He wasn't up already. He looked fantastic out there. Came out and just locked it down. So, you know, and he was hitting, 95, 96. So, you know, I'm excited to see him, you know, maybe turn into this year's Swarzak. That would be great. You know, maybe get a couple pieces for him. It's kind of like we're kind of in a holding pattern, you know, until we get Eloy, until we get Kopech, all those guys, you know, and Cease apparently threw really well today, too. So
he did. We'll get to that.
It's an exciting time. It was cold, but, you know, I had a great hot dog, had a few beers. You know, what else can you complain about? You can't complain about nothing.
You got the ratio right, a hot dog and a few beers. Good ratio. We appreciate the call, Adam. Thanks
very
much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
I got a question for White Sox fans. 312-981-7200. Who on the roster right now are you most confident in? And Harry, you can answer this question first, by the way. Who on the roster right now who's on the big league club, on the 40-man, is playing at Guaranteed Rate Field, will be taking on the Rays tomorrow at 1:10? Who are you most confident in? Give me three that will be there when the White Sox win the World Series in 2018, 2019, 2020, whatever it's going to be. Who are, when you look out there, do you feel most comfortable like that guy is absolutely going to be there?
I know, I'm a very positive person, Carm, but 2018, really?
You know, I don't take anything off the table, Harry, but 2019, 2020, there you go.
2020, I think, 2020 is doable. We know we've seen it with the Astros, we've seen it with the Cubs, we've seen it with other teams. I mean, look what the Astros did last year. The Astros were, you know, a laughingstock. They were one of the worst teams in baseball, but they drafted so well. They built their team so strong. And the Astros look to be dominant again. Did you see the way, by the way, the Astros and the Padres ended the game last night?
Astros and Padres. I feel like I was talking about this earlier.
It was nothing up. And it was nothing up bottom of the ninth. Might have even been bottom of the tenth. And a pop-up on the infield with two outs. So the runner was going from second. And Eric Hosmer came in. The pitcher went over. The catcher. It's an infield pop-up that's about 12 feet from home plate, and Hosmer thought somebody else was going to grab it, so he backed off, and the ball dropped. And the Astros won nothing. So even when the Astros aren't going well, they're still going well. And I think there's reason to believe that what Rick Hahn has done, taking the Sox from, you know, being maybe the next to, you know, worst organization in terms of, you know, talent about to come up and make an impact in the MLB, I think now you've got one of the top, you know, two groups of guys. People are high on San Diego. But, man, there's going to be so many people similar to Johan Moncada coming up last year. There's going to be so many White Sox that just show up and make an impact and do damage. It's going to be pretty cool.
You want to give me your three, or do you want to think about it?
No, I'll give you more than three, but I'll start with 24. I'll start with 24, Matt Davidson. What don't you like about Matt Davidson? This guy, when they first dealt Addison Reed to the Diamondbacks and Matt Davidson wasn't coming up, you're like, uh-oh, what's wrong? Something is not right. Why? And then, well, maybe he'll be up soon, and he wasn't. Well, maybe he'll be up next year. I remember 2014 waiting for Matt Davidson to come up then. And now Matt Davidson is a tough out. Nobody wants to go after Matt Davidson. He's crushing the ball.
I like it. There you go. I talked to Matt Davidson briefly and thanked him for coming on White Sox Weekly, Harry, for you as well before the game.
That's good. You didn't blow it, right? You didn't set us back in that relationship?
It's debatable. I think I maybe asked one too many questions. I was like, okay, Carmen, it's time for you to go. I got to get ready for the Detroit Tigers. That might have happened, but I think we're good. Here, we'll wait on your next two. Let's get Tracy in here, 312-981-7200. Tracy, thank you for calling 720 WGN. Welcome to White Sox Weekly. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Hi, guys. How's it going? Well, on my mind, I'm still remaining positive as far as our season this year, because I went to opening day, and I agree with the previous caller. The weather in April has been a crapshoot so far as the cold. But I went to opening day, and opening day was great to me. We've been hitting the ball well. The overall pitching has been good, especially by Shields. And on down the line, I think as long as we maintain at the 500 mark, I think the season is still going to be pretty good. I'm feeling pretty optimistic about our season this year. I think we're gonna have a chance this season.
Tracy, you want to give me three guys that you think will be there when the White Sox do the whole thing?
Well, Matt Davidson is one. He's been hitting the ball really well. Jose Abreu is two. And Lopez is three. Lopez has been pitching outstanding.
Yeah, I like him a lot. All right. Tracy, you're a great White Sox fan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, anybody who comes out here on opening day and it's snowing,
uh-huh,
and you have nothing to say but that was awesome, that's a fan that you want to get in the bunker with right there. That's a guy that you can count on, Harry.
I'm still mad. I'm still a little mad at Luis García.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying. Well, I know that we owe folks the news, that's a game that the White Sox should not have slip away.
Right. Well, you're right. He tried to make a great play rather than making the smart baseball play, and it cost him. It's true. We're going to news. You want to send us there, Harry?
Oh yeah, heck, sure I will. I will say that the news is that we'll be right back with more White Sox Weekly, and we welcome your phone call, so please go ahead and join the show.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
This is White Sox Weekly. Mark Carman's at the ballpark. I'm Harry Tynowitz in the WGN Radio Studios. We are talking White Sox baseball until 7 o'clock tonight. White Sox lose a heartbreaker, tough one today on the south side. They lose 1-0 to the Detroit Tigers. Reynaldo Lopez was brilliant. He threw 7 innings of two-hit baseball. Unfortunately, a pass ball in the first inning lets a runner go from second to third, who then came home on a sack fly. And that would be all the Detroit Tigers needed today. Detroit sweeps the opening series, but the White Sox have a chance to get those three games back beginning tomorrow. And I'll point out again tomorrow, as Ed and DJ mentioned several times on the broadcast, as Carm mentioned in the postgame show.
Sure did.
The Sox have moved up tomorrow's ball game instead of a night game, because by tomorrow night, it could be very, 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 very cold. So a 1:10 beginning tomorrow, Sox and Tampa, and the Rays' finest, Chris Archer, will toe the rubber for them.
That I always get scared, right? Either way, oh no, they're red hot, they're 8-1, they're coming in, it's not going to be easy. And then the other side of it's like, oh no. They're struggling. The Rays coming in right now after being they were walloping the Red Sox
right,
today.
They're crushing.
And they end up falling 8-7 and now 1-8. It's like, oh no, they're due. They got to win at some point. But you just got to go out there and beat them, right, Harry? That's the deal.
Yeah, you got to go out there and beat them. And Miguel Gonzalez was awful. You know, he was awful his first game north of the border when he threw in Canada. And I really hope we get Miguel Gonzalez that we saw most of last season. He threw 5 innings against the Blue Jays, and he let 10 guys reach base, which is not real good.
Yeah, no, that was not his best outing for sure. Recapping Boston, they had 6 runs in the 8th inning today to beat the Rays 8-7 and sweeping the set with Tampa 5-0 in one-run games. By the way, the Boston Red Sox off to a great start. The Rays had a 7-2 lead before giving up the 6 in the 8th and falling 8-7. Tampa Bay was actually hitting the baseball today. They had a season-high 11 hits. They left 10 runners on, and Chris Archer on the mound tomorrow. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 312-981-7200, White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. Jay, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I'm happy that the season started. The weather's been terrible, and that's going to affect the bats and everything. And I think at the start of the season with the bats being cold and things being cold and what have you. I mean, granted, we are leading or were leading the league in home runs, but that's an anomaly. Until we get to the middle part of May till June where the bats can start heating up, we're going to have to be relying on the bullpen, which has been the problem for the last 3 or 4 years. And I know we've got the bullpen pieces in the minors. However, they're not up here in the majors. So that's my take thus far. But still excited about the season. And I know I'm going to see some exciting baseball. And I'm not going to see the same guys playing station to station like I had in the last 4 or 5.
Jay, have you been impressed with what you've seen from Nate Jones early?
No, Nate Jones is still Nate Jones. He's awesome, and then he disappears.
Okay.
And he's awesome again. And you're like, yeah, there's Nate Jones. And then he disappears. So I wish that we could get Nate Jones on like a 6 or 7 game hot streak and deal him.
I don't know if I'd want to deal. I mean, the guy can throw the ball through a wall.
What about Hector Santiago coming on yesterday? A guy who's closed. He's been a starter, long relief. Does that give you a little more confidence in that addition?
Well, it does. However, that you got to get the ball to him, too. You know what I mean? Like, if he's our seventh guy, okay, then we'll let him go 7-8, then you're still going to roll the dice. Every time you go to that bullpen, you're rolling the dice and hoping to get a 7, you know? I mean, it's just, I don't know.
What about a Luis Avila coming over with Joaquin Soria? Do those guys give you a little bit more confidence, perhaps, in the bullpen? I'm just pointing out that it's early season. You got some new faces here, Jay. I think it's a little too early to kill the bullpen. They haven't been bad so far.
I'm not killing them. I'm just saying I'm not seeing rocks out. I liked Avila 2 days ago when he had 3 punch-outs in 1 inning and was gone. But he went to that 2nd inning and he had a little trouble again. So I need to have guys that I know consistently, this is your inning. And right now I'm just not seeing that.
Right.
So we're going to have to mask that with big hits and big home runs and long ball and big scores until we can get the people and pieces that we need up here.
Jay, before you go, give us your 3 guys that you're betting on to be here long term.
I am surprised that none of you have said Giolito. Because I like Lucas Giolito a lot. I like Ronaldo Lopez. I mean, who doesn't like a .69 ERA? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm hopeful that we still have Jose Abreu here because he's a stud. And those are very hard to find. But, you know, he's a little longer in the tooth. I don't know how Rick will play that, but should we have him, great calming influence in the clubhouse, a lot of Cuban players, I think he would be a key piece to a very good team in a year or two.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the phone call, 312-981-7200. He brings up an interesting point with Jose Abreu, Harry, because you are talking about a rock-solid guy in that clubhouse, but he's also, you know, he's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's making $13 million this year. He's arbitration eligible for next season, and then he's a free agent in 2020. You know, and his stats that he's put up are incredible, and he's consistent. And there's nothing not to like about Jose Abreu. But you're also in this rebuild. Not that the players want to talk about that, and I appreciate that. Although I did hear that word a couple times in the clubhouse today. It's a guy that might be able to get you some nice pieces if they choose to go that route come July or even in the off season.
Yeah, it was very important to the White Sox that Yoan Moncada's first guy that he spent time with here in Chicago was Jose Abreu, and Jose Abreu does an awful lot for this team on the field and off the field. But you know, it seems to me like there'll be guys coming up throughout the season, and there'll be reason for Sox fans to, like, you know, kick their feet and get fired up. And then there's going to be, patches where they just, you know, don't win a ton of games. But I think that, you know, it's very possible that Rickon turns Jose Abreu into something else by the time this team is, you know, locked and loaded and, you know, spitting out of the turn, heading for the finish line in, the next couple years. So I don't know if Jose Abreu is going to be here for a long time, but let's enjoy him while he's here.
312-981-7200, asking the question on White Sox Weekly, which give us 3 guys that you're most confident in that will be here long term. And by the way, you should head to the park for the first Dollar Hot Dog Wednesday of the season. That's this coming Wednesday, April the 11th. Sox take on the Tampa Bay Rays, 1:10 p.m. You can take advantage of this unbeatable deal as you cheer on the Sox all season long. Get your tickets at whitesox.com today. Dollar Hot Dog Days are awesome. 312-981-7200.
And to the caller's point, we haven't mentioned Giolito because I've only brought up one guy, Matt Davidson, and Carm hasn't brought up anybody yet. So, Carm, I would ask you for your first guy, either, you know, give me in the organization, whether they're with the big club now or, you know, somewhere in the minor league system, give me a knight, a baron, you know, give me three guys, give me one of them now who you think is going to be a big part of the White Sox run to the series.
Well, and the game here is you can't, I don't want to hear Eloy Jimenez or Mike Rodolfo or Luis Robert.
You don't have to be Captain Obvious.
No, I want to, I'm talking about on the roster right now. Look. Ronaldo Lopez, Lucas Giolito, those two guys to me are locks that'll be there, and guys like James Shields,
Tim Anderson
are locks that they want. Tim Anderson is possible, but who knows?
I think Tim Anderson's more of a lock than James Shields is.
Oh, I mean, I think James Shields is a lock that he won't be here.
Okay, all right.
You know, there's some that you can absolutely X off the list. I actually would like to throw out a guy that I think is underserved, and we just talked to him, or I just talked to him earlier today in the pregame. Yolmer Sanchez, Harry, he's 25 years old. He's a switch hitter. He can play third. He can play second. He hits the ball all over the field, right? He gives you a quality at bat. You know what you're going to get. He's not a free agent until 2022.
Playing a solid third base for the Sox.
Right. And he's a guy in that clubhouse that is a leader. He's an energy guy. I mean, there's just a lot of guys bounding around in that clubhouse that have a whole lot of just energy to play the game every day. And I think Yolmer, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the face of the White Sox when they get there, but I expect him to be a part of it. Because I don't think he's going to be, you know, he won't be a super expensive guy, and he's someone that can help you in a variety of ways. So I expect Yolmer to be a part of this. That's one guy that I would name. 312-981-7200. Do I have to give them all away?
No, you don't have to give them all away. You know, I think that when you limit it to when we're just picking off the big club, you know, then, you know, you're going to have a lot of repeats. I think if you can go down to the, you know, throughout the system, you'll get a bunch of different names, you know, people bringing up different guys.
Right. Well, if you want to break my rules, you can, Harry. Feel free. Who do you want to dip down and mention?
Well, I mean, you know, you know, I'm a big rule breaker from way back, kind of reformed.
It's part of the reason why I love you.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of reasons to get excited, and you know, people are all fired up for, you know, Michael Kopech and the 100-mile-per-hour fastball. But what about a Zach Birdie? You know, from the DG, Downers Grove's own Zach Birdie. I mean, it looks to me like that kid can pitch, and you know, I know he's battling with you know, injury now, but Zach Birdie, I think, is going to be up doing some very spectacular things for the White Sox one day.
Now you are throwing a solid curveball out there. I like it. I mean, if you're going to start saying something like that, I'll go on the roster. And you know, I look at that bullpen, Harry, that we were just talking mm-hmm. about, and there's a guy who started last year in Single A. Pushed himself up to Double A.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try Triple A, and now I'm going to come up to the big leagues. And he was very successful late in the season. Now he hasn't been perfect early going here, but 24 years old, 6'3" left-hander Aaron Bummer out of Nebraska. By the way, little Cornhusker. I think that's a guy who is going to continue to develop and be a left-hander out of that bullpen that the White Sox will be relying on as we move along here through the years. I think you know, somebody who climbs up the system that quickly and is only 24 years old and is left-handed, I think that's a guy that you can look to as somebody who's going to be here. And so I'm very interested to see how he'll do when he gets his opportunities this year.
You're the kind of guy that, like, when you have a son, Carm, are you going to tie his right arm down behind his back?
I'm going to do a lot of things, Harry. That might be one of them, sure. I mean, I haven't decided if it's going to be baseball or, you know, my love of tennis. I have that dream.
Do the kid a favor.
I mean, I think I am doing him a favor.
Really? Baseball or tennis?
Well, when he wins Wimbledon, I think he'll be a happy kid, and I'll be a happy father. Not that I want to be the guy that lives my life through my son. That would be rude and wrong and not right, and let's be good parents out there for the record. But, you know, tennis is a sport you can play for your entire life, Harry. You know, and don't knock my tennis. That'd be rude and on a beautiful Sunday on White Sox Weekly. We do have to take a quick timeout. 312-981-7200. Harry's got a game for you. You can win White Sox tickets. That's coming up after 5:30. We still have to get to Hector Santiago, who I talked to today. Andy Mazur sat down with Rick Hahn. That'll be a part of the broadcast. We're with you till 7 o'clock, and your phone calls are welcome. 312-981-7200. This is White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. Good news, White Sox fans. And all of Chicago, the weather's going to turn here, team. The weather's going to turn. 61 degrees, supposed to be the high on Wednesday. Day game out of Guaranteed Rate Field. How about that, Harry? Weather's going to turn. 61 on Thursday, on Wednesday, 68 on Thursday, 72 on Friday.
In Chicago?
Yes.
What a crazy city we live in, huh?
Right?
That's just that's crazy. And tomorrow it's going to be a little cold, but you're telling me in 2 days. So we're going to go from like 3 degrees to 90.
Well, I don't know about 90, but yes, it's going to
It's going to feel like 90. If you tell me it's going to be 70, it's going to feel like 90.
Yes, it will. I that's the greatest thing about when the weather does turn. We hit like 56 degrees and it feels like you can go to the beach. Which, by the way, who knows what the weather will be, but you should come out and see the White Sox take on the Houston Astros Friday, April 20th at 7:10 p.m. The first 20,000 fans will receive an MLB Network White Sox tote bag. Harry, you've got one of those. Be sure to stay after the game for the first Friday night fireworks of the season. Purchase your tickets today at whitesox.com.
It's the only time that the world champions will be in town all year long.
This is true. And the world champions are playing some very, very good baseball early in the season here. We can give you a little quick scoreboard here as we just take you around. The Houston Astros, not here until the 20th, but Houston is rolling. They beat the Padres, say 4-1, now 8-2 on the year. Elsewhere around the American League, Blue Jays leading the Rangers 7-4. That's in the bottom of the ninth. Angels 6, Athletics nothing, top 7. Harry, what do you think about Shohei Ohtani?
He had a perfecto going today, man. He's 3 straight games with home runs. I mean, you know, Ohtani's been exciting.
7 innings today, 1 hit, walked 1, struck out 12. He was borderline awful in spring training.
Right.
And there was a discussion on whether or not he should start the
make
season
the club.
In Triple
A. Yeah.
Yeah, in Triple A, which I thought made sense. You're asking a guy to make a huge transition. And now, I mentioned this real briefly yesterday, and just taking a look at it for a second here. Could this open up the door for more guys to do what he's doing? Like when Harry Tynowitz was on, you know, the Little League field, you know, when he was 8 years old, the best player on that field, he was the pitcher, and he also was the hitter, right? The guy that was the striking you out was also hitting home runs,
right? Right, the biggest guy off most of the time was like the biggest guy,
right? And then a lot of times it's the same thing in high school. Pitcher's a great hitter. But then if we get in the era of specialization, like it's impossible to do it. But now here's a guy, and it's very early in the season, I get it. But he's showing that it can be done. First time since Babe Ruth, like 1919, 1921 statistics are out there of home runs after victories and starts. And I mean, he's doing Babe Ruth-esque stuff.
Right. There were a couple guys that, you know, dabbled in this type of thing. They're, you know, like Brooks Kieschnick, you know, transformed. Rick right. Ankiel transformed. But this is a guy who's, like, doing both from the start. You know, he's not, Rick Ankiel was forced to become an outfielder because something went haywire in his brain when he tried to throw strikes and he couldn't throw strikes anymore. So he had to convert to being, you know, an outfielder, and he was always a good hitter. But, you know, Otani's just come out of the gate and he looks like a thoroughbred. He's, you know, he's three straight games with home runs, and then today he had a perfecto going.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, I mean, and normally what you're talking about there is guys try to make the transition once, okay, you tried hitting and being a position player, it's not working. Why don't you try to be a pitcher, right? Or vice versa?
Right.
And, I mean, Brian Anderson, former White Sox, late in his career, he taught, you know, figured he'd give a shot at pitching.
Yes, he did.
Stuff like that goes on. But this, I don't know. I like raising the bar here. If this dude can do it, he can't be the only guy that can do it. And I'm not trying to take anything away from his talent. But it's always been sort of a mystery to me that you can't, you know, we're always doing a lot with our lives. Are you telling me you can't hit in the cage for 45 minutes a day and then go throw your side? Why can't that be done? I feel like it can. Shohei Ohtani's doing it.
Ohtani is doing everything he should be doing, and he's wearing the number 17 Angels jersey, worn by one of my favorite players in the last 25 years, Darren Erstad, who also was a Nebraska ball player. He was the punter on the Nebraska football team.
All right, here, coming up after the 5:30 news, we're going to have the White Sox Weekly first ever Harry game. Harry, would you like to explain what's going to happen after the 5:30 news here?
Yeah, all hell is going to break loose. We're going to have some fun on White Sox Weekly all season long. We're going to give away tickets. The way we'll give away tickets today, we need two callers right now, two Sox fans. Please give us a buzz. You will go head-to-head. You'll each be able to use Mark Kerman at the Carm on Twitter as Lifeline three times. It is a topical game having something to do with the White Sox. So call right now to WGN. Let's get in and let's, you know, be a champ.
312-981-7200, giving away White Sox tickets on White Sox Weekly in the Harry amazing White Sox Weekly game. This is, are we calling this the Rays game? Are we calling it that?
Well, I guess we could, now that the cat's out of the bag.
Well, I didn't. Is the cat really out of the bag? I don't think I completely.
We live in a
away.
World with internet. Yeah, cat's so out of the bag now. The cat is like on top of the house. The cat is on the hot tin roof.
All right, I apologize. The cat's out of the bag. It's the Rays game. It's the Rays game. So factor that in.
Really, drill that home. Drive that home.
The Rays game.
Okay.
All right. In the news in a second, and then Harry's going to set you up to win some White Sox.
Dan, let's keep it alternate, please, in case someone should drop out. Thank you.
312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. Free T-shirt Thursdays are back this season. Be one of the first 10,000 fans in attendance every Thursday home game. You get a specially designed shirt. Get your tickets at WhiteSox.com today. White Sox Weekly rolling on. My name is Mark Carman. Harry Tynowitz and I with you till 7 o'clock tonight, having some fun with you as we have our first ever White Sox Weekly game with a chance to win White Sox tickets. Harry, take it away, my friend. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I'm all of it right now, pal.
I'm always nervous and I'm excited when I'm with you, Carm.
We had a great dinner on Friday, Harry. It was wonderful to be with you at the Village Inn.
Village Inn in Skokie, Randy's place. Just a quiet, calm dinner. Neither one of us got too out of control.
You did have at least three iced teas.
Oh yeah, man, I was pounding.
A lot of sweet and low, pal. You were crushing the sweet and low.
That's me. I'm sweet and I'm low. All right, so this is our topical game on White Sox Weekly. Let's meet the two contestants. First, let's say hi to Michael. Michael, thanks for calling WGN Radio. You're on White Sox Weekly with Mark Kerman and me, Harry Tynowitz. Michael, where are you calling from today?
Calling from Springfield, Illinois.
Okay, and you are a pretty strong White Sox fan?
You know, since the day I was born, and my only fear is if I don't do well today, it's because it's too cold outside.
Excellent. Blame it on the cold. Sounds like a good Chicagoan.
Great strategy, Michael.
All right. Michael's in Springfield, and let's say hi to Michael's competition today. This is Dan. Dan, thanks for calling WGN. You're on White Sox Weekly on the flagship home of the Chicago White Sox, WGN Radio. How are you today, Dan?
Good, Harry. How are you guys?
We're good. Mark, you good?
I'm wonderful.
Dan, where are you calling from?
I'm in Wooddale, Harry.
Oh, big fan of Wood Deal. I was there recently, in fact. All right, so, so here's what we're going to do, guys. Since the White Sox will play the Rays tomorrow, we're going to play the Rays game. Every answer here is going to be either someone who played for the Rays or someone famous whose name is Ray. Got it? The answer's got to be someone who played for the Tampa Bay Rays or whose name is Ray. And when you know the answer, I want you to yell out your name. But instead of yelling your name, Michael, let's see. Let's get a Michael that was on the White Sox. Well, Miguel Gonzalez pitches tomorrow. So, Michael, when you know the answer, yell out Gonzalez. And Dan, when you know the answer, yell out Pasqua. And you can each, I know.
I just sent him a friend request on Facebook.
And did he friend you?
I haven't even checked that. It was just an hour ago.
Oh, I know he will. Remember what number Pasqua was?
Oh, 44.
Yes, sir. And we saw a 44 looking pretty good on the hill today in a Bruce Rondon. Faced four batters, struck them all out. Each one of you guys will be able to use Carm as a lifeline three times during the game. There are 10 answers. If we're tied after the 10 questions, we will have one question as a decider. If you get it right, you'll win. If you blow it, you'll lose. But every answer here on the Rays game is somebody who played for the Rays or whose name is Ray. Carm, do you understand the game?
I do, Harry, and I'm just word to the wise here, Michael and Dan. Using me is not necessarily the greatest idea, but I am here for you, if that makes sense.
All right. So again, yes, please don't yell out the answer. Please just yell out, Michael, if it's you, Gonzalez for Miguel Gonzalez, and Dan, if it's you, Dan, just yell out Pasqua. Okay, here we go. The Tampa Bay Rays all-time leader in batting average, stolen bases, triples, and runs scored. Ray me. Who is
Pasqua?
Pasqua.
I'll say Carl Crawford.
You would be right. Carl Crawford.
Dan.
Dan is up 1-0. Remember that big deal he got from Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He was terrific with Tampa. Boston did not really get their money's worth. Okay, here we go.
Who signed him in Boston?
Theo, is that what you're saying?
I believe it was Theo Epstein, yes. Go ahead, Harry.
Okay, this guy, question two, he is the creator and star of the hit television show Everybody Loves Raymond. I believe Gonzalez was first. Mike, your
Ray
call.
Ray
Romano is correct. Just like that, we are knotted at one. The question was going to be, he and his TV wife, Patricia Heaton, once attended a game in a suite on the South Side as personal guests of White Sox director of broadcasting and mischief, Bob Grimm. Bob Grimm hanging out with Patty Heaton and Ray Romano at a Sox game one day. How cool was that?
Harry, I got to say, we've done a lot of these games first ever on White Sox Weekly. These two contestants, this is upper level right now. Michael and Dan are ready to roll. I'm impressed.
Well, they went through spring training. You know, they got the kinks out. So they're deadlocked, and they both desire the White Sox tickets. Okay, here we go. Question three. From 92 to 97, he saved 222 games for the Pale Hose, and he donned uniform 39. Then in Tampa, he saved 101 games as the Rays closer from 98 to 2000. Ray me. From 92 to 97, he saved 222 games.
Pasqua.
Roberto
Hernandez?
You, sir, are a stud. Yes, it is Roberto Hernandez.
Look at the way Dan just was able to go back in the annals, be very logical, and then he came up with Roberto Hernandez. I like it, Dan.
I got mixed up thinking it had to be Ray, and I don't remember him going to the Rays, so all I could think was White Sox at that time.
Oh, no, he was the Rays' man. He was closing games for the Rays when they weren't that great, and he closed a bunch of games for Tampa Bay. Did really, really well. So now it is 2-1, Dan, and Michael in Springfield. Dan is in Wooddale. And let's see who can get this one correct, Amundo.
Love the mound presence of a Roberto Hernandez. Go ahead.
Considered the pioneer of soul music, he performed and recorded songs from 1947 until his untimely passing in 2004. Blind from the age of seven.
Gonzalez.
Ray Charles?
It is Ray Charles.
Oh, man.
That was a layup.
Carm, you love hearing a Ray Charles song at the Bulls game. I know you do. When the other guy falls out, hit the road jack. Oh, yeah. That is.
I love hearing any Ray Charles song. I would argue top three musician of all time. Go ahead.
He's pretty awesome. And Jamie Foxx, by the way, was spectacular. Have you guys, Pasqua Gonzalez, have you guys seen the movie Ray?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. Jamie Foxx classically trained in the piano at Juilliard, by the way. We're not just baseball guys. We are geeks at every level.
Okay. A curveball.
Okay. Well, again, if you're just joining us, this is WGN Radio, the home, the flagship home for your Chicago White Sox. And we're playing the Rays game. Rays come to town tomorrow. And we have Michael, Miguel Gonzalez is playing Dan Pasqua. And every answer is either a guy named Ray or somebody who played for the Rays. Okay, guys, be ready.
Score right now, Harry, do you have it?
Yes, do I have it? Yeah, no, I'm counting on you to have it. Yeah, it's 2-2.
Okay, making sure that we have that
Go ahead, Carm, ask me who's winning.
2-2. Who's winning, Harry?
It's a tie. It's a Hollywood Squares trick question. No one's winning when it's 2-2.
The Bears.
Bears. Okay.
Go ahead.
This pitcher, and remember, you can answer and bring Carmen at any time, okay? This pitcher is the Rays' all-time leader in wins. This pitcher is the Rays' all-time leader. Gonzalez.
Carm, I'm looking at you.
Carm?
You're coming to me for the all-time leader in wins in Tampa Bay Rays history? That's just a bad job listening to Harry.
Wait, hold on. I've got to pick Krista and Dan, our engineer and our producer, up off the floor. They're laughing.
All-time leader in wins.
Use the force. You were in the same. Well, I can't say anything. I can't give my
hand. In the same. Ooh, that's interesting. Hold on a second here.
Pasqua.
Oh, no, hold on. No, hold on. He's got time. Carm's got another 10 seconds here. And of course, Miguel, you can jump in as well, Mike.
I'm going. I hate that I'm on the spot here. James Shields.
You can use his answer, or you can use one of your own. What are you going to do there, Mike?
I'm sticking with the pros here.
Your answer is
Shields.
It is James Shields. How about that, Carm, for three?
Wow.
Kaboom.
Wow.
More than just a pretty face.
Wow.
And Carm, I owe you a dollar hot dog.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
3-2, Mike. Here we go. Dan is in Wooddale. Mike is in Springfield. He wore number 5 for the White Sox. He played second.
Pasqua. Ray Durham.
Yes, sir.
Bam.
3-3. Nodded at 3. Okay, guys, here we go. Make me proud. When Dwayne Wise made his amazing leaping catch to save a home run.
Pasqua.
Gabe
Kapler.
Dang.
Wow.
You are correct. Gabe Kapler is who hit that ball. Remember, ninth inning? He was leading off. It was July 23rd. I'm positive of the day because it's my dad's birthday. I'm not positive of the year, but when Burles threw his perfect game, one of only two White Sox pitchers to throw two no-hitters, it was Dwayne Wise making that leaping catch coming from center going towards left center, and it was Gabe Kapler that he caught that off of.
Hate to make this about me, but I was covering that game for WGN Radio. Want that on the record. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So here we go now. So it's 4-3. Pasqua has the lead. This is the question. He co-starred in a movie with Denzel Washington, but he's probably
Pasqua.
Pasqua.
I'm going to take my lifeline.
Lifeline. Carm.
Is that it? Can you read the rest of the question?
He co-starred in a movie with Denzel Washington, and then that's when he jumped in.
He co-starred in a movie with Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. If you guys can get this in the next 15 seconds, then you have the point, and Dan has a 2-point lead. But if you don't, then Mike would hear the entire question and have a chance to tie.
Ray Allen?
Look at you, 2-for-2, Mr. Lifeline. Are you gonna?
I figure you got to go sport, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Pasqua, you going with that?
You just gave.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I did kind of just give that away, but I think he was going to get. Okay, it's 5-3, Michael. You need these questions, my man. So focus. See the ball. Be the ball. This is the Rays game on WGN Radio. This 5-time batting champ won a World Series with the Yankees.
Pasqua.
Pasqua.
Wade Boggs.
Wade Boggs is correct, and Dan in Wooddale has won the Rays game. Michael in Springfield, thank you very much for playing. You're welcome to join us next week and try to win free Sox tickets. Dan, hold on. We'll get your information. What is it like? What does it feel like to win White Sox tickets on White Sox Weekly on WGN, Dan?
You know, I got to say, Harry, on the other channel, the other station a year ago, they had their first game of the year, and I won that one. And that was a Hawk Harrelson alarm clock that I tried so hard to get for my son. And to win another opening, you know, another opening day trivia question, not with you, Harry. I'm a big fan. I've been a huge fan of you for a long time. And I got to say, the reason I'm a Sox fan is because my grandfather was born a day before your grandfather, or your father, you said. My grandfather's birthday is
July 22nd.
July 22nd, yes, sir. And I believe my dad and my uncle are listening right now, and they both work at Hackney's, and they told me that you're a real nice guy. My uncle also works at Myers, and I think you go in there once in a while for burgers. I heard you talking about Myers and Hackney's on the other station years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember being on another station. Carm, you're a big Myers guy.
I am. I used to bartend at Myers Tavern, one of my favorites. A tremendous cheeseburger. That was that's awesome.
We're Sox fans because of my grandfather, and we're all big fans of you guys, and I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, every weekend, White Sox Weekly, and every White Sox game right here. Andy Mazur's got your pregame tomorrow shortly after 12:30. Then Fermio and DJ have first pitch Sox and Rays. We got to step away for just a bit. We'll come back with something that Carm wanted to do, One Guy We're Mad At. New segment, One Guy We're Mad At, when we come right back on White Sox Weekly on WGN.
Our tech segment is sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. So we can do that off of Harry's question, which is, who are you mad at? And it doesn't. It can be a White Sox player. It can be a White Sox coach. It could be an opposing player, an opposing whoever. The dance floor is free here, Harry, and I feel like you asked that question because you've got some anger brewing that you want to get out here on 720 WGN and White Sox Weekly. Am I right about that?
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of Lurie Garcia, but I don't know why he played that ball opening day like that. And I make 100 mistakes. I'll make 100 mistakes before we get out of here at 7. But I just wish that he had not played that ball like that. I'm talking about opening day. Late in the game, you're holding on to a lead, you know, you keep everything in front of you. I mean, I was someone who was, this will surprise you, Carm, but I was not that great of a natural athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But I always,
that does surprise me.
But I always understood, like, what I theoretically would supposed to be doing if I were athletic. And it's just, you know, it's everyone's gonna make errors, but, you know, it's like, The mental lapses are what frustrates me as a fan the most. So I've, you know, who am I mad at this week? I'm mad that Lurie Garcia didn't play that ball more intelligently, or I should say more conservatively, because the White Sox should have won the home opener.
I mean, if we're really going to a nitpick level, I mean, today... And he's been throwing out base runners. He's been hitting home runs. But if we're nitpicking,
I mean,
the pass ball today was disappointing. That cost the Sox a base, and it was an unearned run in the first inning off the mitt of Wellington Castillo. It's a ball
right. But I mean, he also nailed the guy going to second. He's been crushing.
He's been phenomenal. Well, yeah. Leury Garcia's been making ridiculous plays in the outfield too.
I know. It's very hypocritical of me. I understand that.
Well, you're a great hypocrite. It's okay. So look, the effort has been there with the White Sox, and for the most part, the execution's been there. They just. You know, gave one away on Thursday with the bullpen, and that's going to happen. Unfortunately, it happened on opening day, the home opener, and you're going to lose games 1-0 throughout the course of the season. You hate to see it all coming together in the first three games set at home, but again, hopefully it'll turn tomorrow with the Rays coming in here, and Tampa certainly has been struggling. And White Sox fans, remember, you can join us as the White Sox take on the Houston Astros. That's Saturday, April 21st, 6:10 p.m. First 15,000 fans will receive a White Sox quarter-zip pullover presented by Guaranteed Rate, your trusted teammate throughout the mortgage process. Get started today at rate.com. And to purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com. Quick timeout. After 6 o'clock, we're going to hear from Hector Santiago, who has a big role for the White Sox this season coming out of that bullpen. Who knows, he may end up in the rotation at some point. A lot of options with Hector Santiago. That's up coming up next year, 720 WGN.
Wow, what a play!
720 WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
6 o'clock hour, White Sox Weekly. Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz with you. Thanks for having on 720 WGN. And Sox fans, be sure to check into Guaranteed Rate Field with the MLB Ballpark app. For your first check-in this season, you're going to receive a free White Sox hat. You hear that? You check in on the MLB Ballpark hat, and you get a free White Sox hat. It's presented by Coca-Cola. Download the MLB Ballpark app through the App Store today. Harry Tynowitz, we're going to hear from Hector Santiago here, who came up with the White Sox. He's pitched out of the bullpen. He's mostly started. He was a Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim, where he mostly started but also pitched out of the pen. He was a Minnesota Twin, did a little bit of both, mainly started, and now back with the White Sox. He was in competition with Carson Fulmer in spring training, and, of course, Fulmer is the starter right now. So Santiago's also a guy who closed back in the day as well, so he can do a lot of things. And he does a ton off the field with Santiago's Soldier. So this is a guy who is a leader in that clubhouse and a great guy on the plane. He likes to, what I understand is he walks down the plane even when he came up as a rookie. Do you guys need anything? Would you like some extra dessert? That type of stuff. Like, that's this guy. He's just, right? That's a teammate you want all day.
I wish I had someone that would come up to me and ask me if I wanted extra dessert.
Right. Well, you need to hang out with Hector Santiago. So we talked to him a little bit earlier today, and hey, it's cold out there. So I did talk about the weather and what it was like for him to pitch in yesterday's game for the Tigers, against the Tigers, in the cold.
You know, you get used to it when you're here for a while, and then you go somewhere warm like California. And last year we got lucky in Minnesota. It was like 65 for opening week or whatever. So, I don't mind that. You know, I like to be back here. I like to be back home with the White Sox. So it's bearable just because I'm happy and comfortable here.
So the journey, you leave, you come back. Does this feel, I guess, sort of like home to you, I guess, as far as the majors go?
Yeah, and baseball life is definitely home. You know, I grew up here. You know, I gave my first chance in the big leagues. They gave my first chance in professional baseball. I know pretty much all the staff here. I got a couple of good friends on the team still, so it's definitely like coming home.
How were you as far as going about spring training? The starter, reliever, were you hoping you were going to be in the rotation? Were you thinking, I just want to be on the roster? How were you thinking it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely wanted to try to, you know, give myself a chance to be in the rotation. I've been starting for the last 5 years or so. So you want to come in and try to compete for a job as a starter. But, I mean, for me, it was just being able to be on the team, being able to give these guys, you know, a helping hand, whether we're starting or in the pen, and just hope for the best year and for the team and all around for the organization to try to get to the playoffs.
Is that kind of, I guess, what was communicated coming back? Like, hey, you may not. You're going to compete. We'll see where we go.
Yeah, they said I have when I first started talking to Coop, and he's like, you know, you got a really good chance of, you know, breaking camp with the team as a long reliever, but there's no secure job in the rotation. You know, there's guys that are competing in spring training, mostly Fulmer. You know, you can come out as long as he had a good spring, and obviously he kind of struggled a little bit, but you understand where they're coming from. They're in a rebuild process or mindset, and they want to kind of give him the opportunity, especially if he's going to be the future, one of the future starters here.
So what's that like for you guys where, like, you know that this is part of a whole process, but also you want to win games you want to be relevant, and you got a lot of talent around here?
You know, like I said in spring training a couple years ago with a couple years ago here in Chicago, we were a rebuild team, and we were in first place for about 130 days. And then last year in Minnesota, they were, you know, counted out, coming off 103-loss season. And they wanted to get into the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, you can be in a rebuild team, but all these young guys are hungry, you know, coming up to the big leagues. They want to do their job. They want to compete, and they want to show what they're capable of. So you can definitely, I mean, you've seen it so far in the first couple games. We've had some really good games. We've lost a couple, you know, late. But, I mean, we've had a really good chance of having a really good start to a season. I think there's going to be a lot more wins and losses this year.
How would you describe Ricky to people? Like, well, what's Ricky really like?
You're coming over, you never know what you're going to get out of a manager. But, I mean, just excitement, the happiness he brings, it makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel like, you know, you're one of his guys. And he does that to everybody. Not just, you know, there's no favorites here. It's everybody's equal. We're all hitting his together. He treats you all with respect and love. And he's just so exciting, so happy. You come into the clubhouse, you feel like it's going to be a good day, no matter if we just lost by 10 or we haven't even started the game. You feel like it's going to be a great day just because of how positive he is.
Seen a lot of, I think a lot of fans will be like, you lose a tough game, like, say, opening the home opener here. Well, how do they come back out tomorrow? And I always look at, like, you all are professionals. I mean, you carry some stuff home, but it's not like you're in the big leagues. It's great to be here. You're going to come out and try to win a game every day.
Exactly. You know, it's a long season, a lot of games, and I think you're predicted to lose probably 70 games to have a good year. So if we still got another, what we're 3-4, we still got another 66 games to lose to have a good year for us. And obviously, we hope for a lot less losses. But, I mean, we're going to lose a lot of games, and we're going to win a lot of games. But, I mean, it's just part of it. We can't go out there and win every night, but we're going to be ready to compete the next day.
I'm guessing on the tape we just picked that up. That was Tim Anderson running by. You got a lot of guys with a lot of energy, Timmy and Yolmer. So I assume that helps, like, coming in the morning and there's like kind of juice around you that's just like, hey, these my teammates are ready to go.
Yeah, you know, after a tough loss, you see guys have their head down a little bit because you want to go out there and compete and do a good job. But the next day, man, it's all forgotten about, and then everybody's the same. They're happy, they're excited, they're ready to go.
I want to talk about Santiago's shoulders, Hector Santiago. You like giving back to the community, and just talk about how that came to be and what you're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, so growing up as a kid, I watched my father do a lot of stuff in the community, umpiring, fixing fields, coaching, whatever he can do to kind of help out the community in the baseball sense. And I said if I ever got an opportunity to kind of give back to a city or a community or give back home, I would take advantage of it. And as soon as I got called up to the big leagues, the White Sox asked me to do some events with them. And I asked them, hey, I want to do something, you know, like personal for this community and also to be able to kind of create something for back home. And we came up with a design. Actually, the White Sox came up with it, the Santiago Soldiers. We had a Sox sign in the middle of it. We had some stars, and we mixed in some camo stuff. But they did a really good job of helping me out starting that up and getting that name going. Getting involved with kids in the inner city. So I know here in the White Sox, they do a lot of stuff in community, and I got involved with everything, with their RBI side of it, their, you know, school visits, hospital visits, and stuff on the field. And, you know, I just took it back home. I made some hoodies, some sweatshirts, and everything we sold went back to either buying uniforms or paying for trips for kids to go and play baseballs in different cities, whether it's here from Chicago or from New Jersey.
That's awesome. When you see what you're giving back and you see these kids experience it, what's that like for you?
Oh, I love it, man. When I get to go back home to New Jersey in the off season and to go into a camp or do some kind of inside event, because usually when I go home, it's pretty cold out. So we do some camps indoors, and all the kids come up and say thank you, appreciate it, and they were, you know, happy to be able to have a trip to Florida or Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico to go play in a tournament. I like it because, you know, growing up, I've had very few chances to be able to go overseas to go play baseball or, you know, get on a bus ride down to Florida and with my teammates and go play. So I like to for them to experience that because I didn't get to do that much of it. But being able to go play baseball across the country is a good thing, a good experience for them, and make them fall in love with the game and hopefully, you know, create some future big leaguers coming from New Jersey.
And since we're talking about kids, like, what's your advice to, like, a young guy's listening right now who wants to, you know, be in your shoes someday, or parents who are, you know, so many parents are hyper-competitive, they want to live their dreams out through their children, please get to the biggest, but, you know, putting so much pressure on them. Like, what's your advice to that whole scene as far as creating the best environment to be successful?
Yeah, you know, you can't force anything. You know, for me, I never got forced into it. My parents made sure I loved it. They always told me, work hard, you know, stay focused. If you want it, go after it. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, you have something else. But, I mean, just, you know, stay focused. You know, a lot of hard work, a lot of time and energy put into it. But just, you can't force anything on, you know, your kids. Just be positive, you know, push them, help them, guide them the right way, and just hopefully a lot of good things happen.
The mental side always is interesting to me. Like, you have a terrible outing, you get knocked around, and you got to
you probably just process that, and then I'm coming out the next time. I'm going to be successful. And you're going up against the best in the world. I mean, that's not easy. Like for you, how do you go about that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, younger when I was coming up in my first couple of years in the big leagues, I was tough. I put a lot of pressure on myself with bad outings and stuff like that. But now you just try to come in, forget about it. I know my first outing in Toronto, try to put it behind me, forget it, and move on to the next. That's the best way to do it because you can't control what just happened. You can't go back and erase it. There's no change in it. The only thing you can do is try to be better and move on to the next one. But just be the same person every day. For me, is if I give up 7 runs, the next day I'm coming in, I'm going to be the same person. I'm not going to take it out on my teammates. I'm not going to show that. And it's not like I'm hiding it. I forget about it. I try to have a short memory. When I came into the big leagues, I was kind of a closer, so you had to have a short memory because you might blow a save tonight and be ready to go tomorrow. So have a short memory and just move forward and, you know, just try to have fun, but be positive every single time you go out there.
One more minute here with Hector Santiago. So your starter, you know, you're pitching on that day. Your reliever, you're sitting out there in the pen. I feel like, I mean, are you anxious the whole time? Is he going to call my name? Like, I would feel like... Like it's like you'd have butterflies the whole day. It's a total different mentality there. Like is it harder for you being a reliever just from that side? Like I could be in every single day.
Yeah, you know, coming into it, I was a reliever coming up through the minor leagues. I was a reliever when I first got to the big leagues. Then I started for 4.5-5 years, and coming back to the pen it's completely different, man. You know, trying to get loose quick, the adrenaline is there, like you said, the whole time. Every time the phone rings, you're like, is it my name? Like, do I got to get ready? So you always have that mental side, or that button's always on. There's no turning it off. You know, you got to be ready every single day. Even today, like I threw, you know, two-plus innings yesterday, 40 pitches. You never know. I mean, there's a chance that you could pitch. I mean, just you never know for injury. Obviously, we wish that doesn't happen, but that's part of the game. You know, or extra innings, and they might need an arm. So every day you have to be ready. That's the thing about a reliever. For me, the hardest thing was the difference in warm-up, getting ready. Starter, you got 30-40 minutes to kind of – well, you got the whole day to kind of get ready physically, and then to go outside, and you got 30 or 40 minutes to get your arm loose and get ready. And here it's like you got the next hitter coming out of the pen. You got the next hitter, and you got to be ready in four or five throws.
So is that stretching and whatnot, just keeping yourself loose, like, okay, I've got my 4 or 5, and I'm good, whatever. You get 8 on the mound when you get out there, right?
Yeah, you get those 4 or 5, and you get those 8 when you go out there, but for me, it's just watching the game, know the situation. You know, obviously, if it's later in the game, we're up. You got certain guys for those roles. But for me, it's like be ready from the first on. You know, I'm in that kind of long relief role, middle of the game. So I just try to keep my body loose those whole time. And when the phone rings, I start like moving around a lot faster.
Last one, just in the clubhouse, you got different guys, different backgrounds. It's a crazy world we live in, right? Just how is this particular clubhouse? Like, what's your strategy in like bringing different guys together who maybe, like, you know, they wouldn't talk to each other outside of here or wouldn't get to know each other, but here you're in here and it's a long season.
You know, we always say I got 24 forced friends. You know, they forced 24 friends on me, and you know, you try to build that relationship, that friendship, that brotherly bond. But you know, for this group of guys right here, this is probably the best group of guys I've been around, and I've been around, you know, 3 different teams and 7 different years in the big leagues and 13 years total. And this group of guys, man, they really know how to come together and do it. Like you said, we have a lot of guys that are hyper and have a lot of energy, but that's the whole group. But for me trying to do it, if I'm going to put the music on, I'm like, hey, anybody got any recommendations? You know, try to kind of leave it open to the group, you know, what we're going to try to enjoy something together, you know? So these guys are a really good group of guys. They're really young, so they're used to coming together, and they pretty much just came up from the minor leagues, you know. But really hyper group of guys, really good group of guys.
That's that veteran leadership that's super important. It made me think of like what's Wellington meant to the pitchers on the staff here.
Good, man. He's really smart. I mean, like you see him. He just walked into our video room right now to kind of get ready for this game, go watch the hitters and see what he wants to do, and he really cares. I mean, if he's not just back there, you know, throwing down the finger and here, make the pitch, and hopefully we get him out. He's calling that pitch with a game plan. He knows what the work you put into it, and he knows that it's the right pitch. He has commitment and conviction to it. There's been times where I've shaken him off, and he's go right back to it and be like, okay, that's the pitch, because he has an idea of what's going on. He cares. He understands, you know, the game and the situations we're in. So he puts a lot – I mean, for him, it's his job. It's career. You know, it's going back there and calling a good game, and if you get the offense out of him, great.
he's been successful really everywhere he goes. It's, I kind of look at it like I think this is 15. It's like, how are you bouncing around so much when you know you're doing? But I guess it's just situation. But like you guys are, it's, it seems like fortunate to have him.
Yeah, I mean, like I think he opted out of a contract in Baltimore.
Yeah.
He kind of wanted to see if maybe they would extend him and get a longer deal there. They didn't. I think he went to Chicago after that and he finished there and came over here. But I think it's just for him is he wants to be somewhere. But you know, sometimes in baseball it's hard to get that opportunity where you're getting a long extension. Especially as a catcher, you know, I mean, anything can happen. You can get hit with a foul ball, and you can be done for a year or two. But, you know, for him, he's so positive. He's like, all right, I'm going to play baseball. Whether it's on a one-year deal or a two-year deal, I'm just going to go out there and compete, and I want to win.
The business side, how do you keep that separate from the other side? Like, I want to make my money, but I want to live my dream too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, like I've always said, you know, I want to live my dream before anything. I don't want to have it to where money takes over and kind of dictates if I'm going to keep playing or if I'm not going to keep playing. But you just try to come to the clubhouse and play ball. You know, I mean, you can't control what they're thinking upstairs, what they're doing upstairs. I mean, if you could, there'd be a lot more people going upstairs and like, hey, I want a 5-year extension.
Right.
But you can't control that. So your job is to go out there and play baseball, play good, and then hope for the best. And hopefully they notice that and they can, you know, keep you here for a long time.
Hector Santiago. Harry, what a good guy, right?
I really enjoyed your visit with Bulldoze, and it's funny that at 30, he's like, you know, veteran leader of this young club.
Right? I love that you just threw out his nickname, Bulldoze, and this was a 30th round pick, 915th overall, went to Northwest Florida State College. You never know your journey in life, Harry Tynowitz.
No, you don't. And, you know, Chris Sale is from that same general area, Florida Gulf Coast. I know you know them from the March Madness tournament. Yeah, no, Hector Santiago, and he transferred. He transferred from an even smaller school, Oskaloosa, Oskaloosa Walton Community College in Niceville, Florida. And, you know, what I like about Hector Santiago and your visit with you had with him before the game is you want guys that are on the same page. You want guys that understand the blueprint for success. And he would love to be a starter, but he gets it. Carson Fulmer is a first pick. He's the 915th guy taken. Carson Fulmer was like the 8th guy taken. He gets it that Carson Fulmer is going to get first dibs, and he's happy to be coming out of the bullpen. And if somebody gets hurt, he'll start. He'll do whatever it takes. He just wants to be up, you know, contributing to the team, and that's what you need. Is you need everybody, you know, I don't want to go cliche and say pulling from the same end of the rope, but you want guys that are just, you know, working off the same game plan that you are.
I like, too, that he put out there that this is the best group of guys I've ever been around. No, he doesn't have to say that. Like,
right. Does he mean that, or does he Jeremy Roenick that?
See, I didn't think he was Jeremy Roenicking it. I thought that was legit.
Because I have Jeremy Roenick in Phoenix. You guys, you Coyote fans, are the greatest fans ever in Philly. You Flyer fans are the greatest fans ever. He comes here. You Blackhawk fans. Oh, JR, come on. You're killing me.
No, he's a businessman. All right, quick timeout. Ricky Renteria said something. I asked him a couple questions about Hector Santiago, which we may get to that coming up here. Andy Mazur talked to the general manager, Rick Hahn. And Harry and I will take your phone calls, 312-981-7200, with you till 7 o'clock. White Sox Weekly continuing on 720 WGN. A lot of people have played this game of baseball. Shohei Ohtani, the first player in baseball history, Harry Tynowitz, to homer in 3 consecutive games and strike out a dozen batters in a game in the same season. By the way, the season just started.
Yeah, he's done it in the same 5-day span.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I mean, that's great for baseball.
And congratulations to Patrick Reed. He wins the Masters, a 69, 66, 67, and 71. He holds on by one shot to beat Ricky Fowler, his first ever major. Pretty cool.
Well, you know, Hawk jinxed Ricky Fowler today.
Did he really?
Yeah, because somebody asked him. I was flipping around, and, you know, I listening to Farmio and DJ, came in the house for a minute, and Hawk was saying that he's wearing a Ricky Fowler cap, but he had no chance to win the Masters. I'm like, you know, he's only 8 shots back, and he's on the fourth hole. Why couldn't he win? It was the Hawk jinx.
The Hawk had a nice, solid breakfast this morning. I witnessed.
Did he? You get to sit there?
I saw the Hawk come in, get a nice plate of food.
beautiful man on a Sunday doing the Sunday television.
I hope you understand like how cutting edge Hawk was in fashion in the 60s.
I mean, my favorite thing about Hawk outside of a zillion other things is the Hawk walk.
The Hawk walk is strong.
The Hawk walk after a putt on the golf course, you can't beat that. That is strong stuff. All right. News is coming up. 1.5 hour more of White Sox Weekly.
Not enough time.
What's that?
Not enough time.
That's right. We'll get the general manager, Rick Hahn, here a little bit with Andy Mazur as well. 720 WGN. Hey, Sox fans, back by popular demand, the Chicago White Sox are offering a limited edition cancer ribbon White Sox cap for $29.99. $10 from every cap sold will support White Sox charities and Rush University Medical Center in cancer research. Caps are available in the park and at the Chicago Sports Depot for a limited time. You can get your hat today and join the team for a great cause. White Sox Weekly continuing. Harry Tynowitz back in the studio at 720 WGN, and I'm sitting here at Guaranteed Rate Field. They're still cleaning up the ballpark, Harry. This is
from
you. Don't realize how much work goes in.
From you, cleaning it up from you. just go to the wastebasket and throw your stuff out, Carm.
I'm a very clean guy in my ballparks area.
What did you enjoy today at the ballpark? What concession stand did you hit? What vendor did you stop?
Well, you know, I've sampled many cuisines early in the season here. I've had the Polish. I've had the chicken sandwich. Today they have the media White Sox employees brunch is a very good value, Harry. So since you're asking, pancake, eggs Benedict, lox and bagel.
That's quite a brunch, but I'm not asking you to go all grobber on me. I'm just saying, like, of the stuff there that fans could get, could reach in their pocket and take out a few shekels and say, hey, that looks... Like, I'm a big fan of the roast beef and the corned beef sandwiches there. Terrific.
Delicious. Delicious. I at the end of the day, look, if you come to Guarantee Rate Field, you have to get the elotes before you leave. It's a must.
Elotes are great. Who would think corn could be so good?
Right? And it's unique. It's unique to the ballpark. I like to get things here that you can't get elsewhere. Right?
Right. Elotes.
Yeah. That's one for sure.
My kids love the nachos and the helmet.
That's also a winner. No doubt. Hey, real fast, can we play Rick Renteria talking about my new favorite White Sox, Hector Santiago, since he spent 13 minutes talking to me today? I know this excites you, Harry.
Is that all that was? Just kidding.
My guy. All right, here's the manager on one of his weapons out of the bullpen.
A young man with plenty of experience. He's been here before. Ate up a couple of innings for us yesterday again. Very effective against both lefties and righties. A guy who has started, and right now we're using him in kind of a little bit of a long relief, but aren't afraid to use him in other situations that might... arise. So upbeat, very confident, not arrogant, just knows what he's doing, and it's nice to be able to put him in the mound and have him go ahead and try to get us through some innings and keep us in the ballgame. Whatever role you give him, he does, has seemed to done well. It's nice to have that flexibility with him, and I know that anytime I give him the ball, he's ready to take it.
Closed, long relief, starter. Key words there, Harry. Upbeat, confident, not arrogant.
And a good team takes on the personality of their manager, and that's what we have here with the White Sox. Is everybody's kind of on that Ricky Renteria vibe, which you gotta like.
Are you eating shrimp? What are you having over there?
I'm not having any shrimp.
Are you having a cookie?
I'm having some delicious Diet Peach Snapple.
I could just tell...
Okay, Krista made cake.
There it is. What kind of cake you eating? It was obvious that you, like, that soundbite was about 38 seconds. So something was sitting in front of you that you could not wait to eat, and you had to shove it in.
Yeah, this is my saga.
It's okay. These things happen.
Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, I thought I would have a little more time, and I assorted it.
Banana bread?
No, she baked cherry chip cake.
A cherry chip cake, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You wish you were here.
I do.
But you got
to,
you know, if you want to eat well, just stay in the booth with Fermio and DJ.
That's true.
Bobby Bertucci will bring up some delicious food.
Yeah. No, they have a sign on their booth: "Do not enter." And I broke that today.
Yeah, I never paid attention much to that sign either.
I was super intimidated by that sign, but once I just entered, they were very friendly. It was good to talk to them.
Could not be friendlier, those two guys.
Right, they're incredible, and it was great to have them at the station earlier this week. I wanted to talk to Paul Zerang, who does a phenomenal job engineering the broadcast, and then to do that, I had to enter in there, and they're like, "Hey, you can come in anytime." And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, great. I really appreciate it." You know, people are working, Harry. They got things to do.
Well, I think if you bring them like some nugget, if you bring them like some cool fact, you know, about the Tigers, if you say, "Hey, did you know this?" I mean, because they know everything, but like they don't know like the weird, bizarre, cool stuff.
Okay.
That's so, you know, so next time you go, when you're in there against the Rays, you know, you bring in something, you know, that you have, you know, some little nugget about the Rays they might enjoy.
Adam Hogue will be handling that. The Rays post-game series, but somehow I'll sneak in there too. Just want to make sure we have our programming correct on WGN on the post-game show. And I'll be back next weekend as the White Sox moving up to Minnesota. All right, let's do a quick timeout. We're with you till 7, and then Karen Conti's taking over. White Sox Weekly, if you want to jump in here, talk about the ball club, talk about the early season, feel free, 312-981-7200. And we'll have a snippet from Rick Hahn as well, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, White Sox Weekly. Barry Tynowitz, yours truly, Mark Harmon, with you for about 15 minutes more as Karen Conti warming up in the bullpen. Harry, Family Sundays, they feature tickets as low as $5 in the upper level, $15 in the lower level, parking for only $10, plus you get special family-focused activities located throughout the ballpark. Family Sundays are proudly presented by Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling. Visit whitesox.com/Sundays to purchase your tickets today. Do the math there. Family of four, you get four tickets in the upper deck at $5. That's $20. You park $30. Family of four to the ballpark, $30. That is a deal, my friend.
That is a sweet deal, and we have video and pictures of my daughter Lucy doing that when she was like 2. I mean, you get out there one Sunday, you wait in line for your turn to run. First of all, any Sox game, you can go up to Fundamentals, you know, in the upper deck there behind left field, and kids get to experience, you know, life as a major leaguer. But then after the game on Sundays to run around the bases, that's just a blast. And you can have those photos, those videos forever, ever.
That's an entire lifetime. So you want to make some predictions here, Harry. Let's go.
Yeah. I predict that Carson Fulmer is going to come out Tuesday. And he is going to deal. I see Carson Fulmer taking it into the 7th inning and the White Sox posting a big W behind the 51 dog. Carson Fulmer, a winner on Tuesday at Guaranteed Rate.
And, you know, let's go back on Carson Fulmer for a second there. 5 innings up in Toronto, and Ricky Renteria got him out of the ball game when there were a couple runners on base wanting him to, you know, hey, this is the good start for now, and perhaps later in the year we'll leave you out there a little bit longer. So I think they're clearly trying to build some confidence here. And look, going up against a Rays team that's not exactly crushing the baseball, it's a good opportunity for him. 3-game set with the Rays starts tomorrow, 1:10 first pitch. Miguel Gonzalez, Chris Archer, and then Fulmer goes on Tuesday, James Shields on Wednesday. And then you go to 4 with Minnesota and 3 with Oakland, a 7-game road trip, which will be the longest of the season to the point once that gets going on Thursday. I'm predicting, Harry, that the White Sox come out of that road trip against Minnesota and Oakland over 500. The team will be over 500 on the season.
I like it.
When the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox get going at Guaranteed Rate Field on Friday, April 20th.
So you're not predicting a 4-3 road trip. You are predicting that their total record will be on the positive side, on the plus side, they will be in the black, not in the red, when the world champs come to town.
Right. I'm fast-forwarding to the April 21st White Sox Weekly. Actually, I'll even add in that Houston game, that when we're on the air of that White Sox Weekly, we can bring up this tape, remember this moment, and we'll see that at the Carm on Twitter was correct.
And, you know, and those have to be, you know, two just, I mean, you could not have two more opposite stadiums for the White Sox to travel to, because up in the Twin Cities, you know, they finally have an outdoor ballpark, and it's just beautiful. I had a chance to go up there, and it's a beautiful park, and it's really, you know, just you know, the people appreciate being outdoors, and it's a fun rivalry, the White Sox and the Twins. It's one of the newest stadiums in all of baseball, and then you go to the oldest stadium, you know, that exists. I know Dodger Stadium is, you know, obviously Fenway and Wrigley are older. I know Dodger's older, but I'm talking about, like, run down. You know, the only stadium where they still play NFL and baseball is Oakland Alameda Coliseum. You knew that, right?
There are two bad stadiums in all of baseball, Oakland and the Trop. That's it.
Yeah, the Trop. I've never been to the Trop, but it looks just god-awful.
Right, horrendous. I mean, I haven't been either, so I can't really say, but I'm going to trust my instincts on that. That is horrendous.
Oakland, they had sewage backed up into the dugout. Can you think of anything worse? Like, one second you're sitting there going, hey, man, I'm a big leaguer. This is so awesome. I'm in the bigs. And the next second you look down and there's sewage.
I'm not necessarily anti-sewage, Harry.
Really?
Yeah, because well,
Could you tell me the pros of sewage?
It would be hard for me to do that, but I'll do my best. The pros of sewage, mm-hmm. if you will, is that your ballpark has character. Like, I enjoy
character.
Yes.
What a bunch of crap.
Why?
Well, it's not character. Character is like when you have, like, you know, oh, look, that old, you know, facade is not as colorful as it used to be, but, you know, it's still cool. It reminds me of when these great players were here 40 years ago, you know. That's character, you know, but sewage is just disgusting.
Well, here, look, I appreciate Guaranteed Rate Field, and I appreciate, say, like, the United Center, but if I could go back in time, I would bring back Old Comiskey, and I would bring back Chicago Stadium, and neither of those places necessarily smelled good, but that was part of the ambiance, is what I'm getting
well,
at.
Well, but they didn't have sewage, and I love Old Comiskey. You know, if you watch Pride of the Yankees, you know, there's you know, shots in Old Comiskey, and, you know, with the classic arches in the outfield, and I used to love it going to Comiskey Park, because as a youth, they had a little sign in the men's room for future White Sox. You know, they had you know, places to go for the adults, and then they had places to go for the little kids. And I just thought it was so cool that, like, hey, I'm going to go where the future Sox go.
I have memories of a kid, and we got to take a quick time out here, but I have memories as a kid. Did the circus go to Old Comiskey?
It really wasn't the circus. It was just Mark Hill had to play third base one game.
I remember Ringling Brothers being, like, parking their animals there and smelling that smell in the ballpark and loving
that, it. That sounds like right up Bill Veeck's alley.
I mean, I have that memory as a kid. I'm not exactly sure how that makes sense, because the circus would come in, but I feel like somebody out there who knows Chicago baseball history will confirm that I'm correct about that. Maybe I'll do some research here and find out if I actually am all right. But all right, let's take a quick time out. I like bad-smelling old-school feel arenas. I know ballparks. I'm not alone in this, Harry.
I'm trying to think of animals that were at the cell. The bull was there, Greg Luzinski.
Yes, he was. All right, quick time out. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Get the latest White Sox gear at the Chicago Sports Depot, your official store of the Chicago White Sox. It's conveniently located by Gate 5 off of 35th Street. The depot can be accessed during games via the bridge by Section 145 and is open 12 till 5, noon until 5 on non-game days. For current deals and promotions, you can follow the @WhiteSoxStore on Instagram. Harry Tynowitz and Mark Carmen wrapping up your White Sox Weekly, Harry. Rick Hahn sat down with Andy Mazur,
and I'm trying to. I'm still working on the circus at Old Comiskey Park. I can't confirm it, Harry. I'm still working on it, though. I feel like I couldn't. I'm not misremembering. Something was going on, but here's a quick minute. Rick Hahn with Andy talking about the season coming.
Give me your thoughts about the first five games. I know it's not a lot to go on, but what do you think?
It's not a lot to go on, but at the same time, there's certainly some things that I think we're going to hopefully continue into the future. We don't quite expect the offense to be quite as prolific in terms of the home run production, but we do like the way guys are grinding out there at bats. Guys are seeing a lot of pitches. They're hitting situationally, and obviously the ball's leaving the yard at a pretty good rate, all of which are positives. On the pitching side of things, you know, the bullpen has had a sprung a leak here and there, which is something we're going to have to tighten up here in the coming weeks and months. But the first turn through the rotation, I think we can be pleased with, starting with Carson Fulmer's outing last night, which was he deserved a better fate than that final game line looked like. But he really threw the ball extremely well. Lopez was outstanding, and even Giolito had a bit of a growth outing, so to speak, in that he found a way to fight through and keep us in a ball game without his best stuff.
Let's talk about that outing, too, because I agree with you completely. I mean, and it was kind of on the heels of Shields doing the same exact thing.
No, and that's funny, because ideally, which is not the baseball world we live in, these young guys come here, they get their opportunity, they take off, and everyone who's got the potential to be a front-end starter immediately dominates and, you know, wins 20 ball games, put up a sub-3 ERA, and you're like, yeah, that's a dude. But unfortunately, development isn't always linear. Part of what we're going to see here this year is individual growth, and part of that growth is learning how to survive as a pitcher without your best stuff. And Jamie set a good example on day one in terms of creating a bit of a hole early, but finding a way to grind out 6-0s after that. And Lucas needs to find a way, like every other pitcher at the big leagues, to pitch without your best stuff. And that was a bit of a learning experience for him, that first outing in KC, but a positive one in the end.
Development isn't always linear, Harry Tynowitz. That's an important thing to remember for all of us.
Yeah, and he's going to be a dude. I love Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn talks like, he morphs from general manager to college frat boy way too easily.
I would trust Rick Hahn to literally do anything. Rick Hahn could do my taxes. Rick Hahn can run my baseball team. Rick Hahn could be my Uber driver. He's just solid. Everything he does. Could run the country, like full range.
Yeah, I'm on Rick Hahn as your Uber driver. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, that's a dangerous thing. I'm putting my life in your hands. All right, we got to wrap up White Sox Weekly. Karen Conti's coming up here, 720 WGN.